Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you hear this message from Pastor Josh Thompson.
It's good to see you this morning. You look amazing. You look amazing. Wow, it's like my first week on the job. And I showed up for work. I'm joking. I don't even feel like it's work. It's amazing. It's amazing. Man, so good to see you today. I want to welcome everybody in the Family Center. Can we give them a shout out today? Everybody in the Family Center. It's amazing. Yeah, we're so glad you all are here. I want to thank you all for your love and just your kindness to me and my girls. Man, we have felt so loved and so just welcomed and received in the last couple of weeks, really for the last 17 years. But just, man, it's been such a blessing. Pastor Gary texted me early this morning. He told me to knock them dead. So I'm not going to kill you though. Don't worry. He is just having a great time in Africa, and already God's just doing so much. So just be praying for him while he's there. Man, I'm just excited to step into this next new season with you. It really is. I have so much anticipation and expectation for what is coming, because there's always more. There's just always more because there's no end to his kingdom. There is no end to what God is doing on the earth. And so we're so thankful for what has been. How many are thankful for what's been? I mean, just in your life and just all the history we have in God. I'm just thankful for every minute of it. But I am so hungry and looking forward to and anticipating more and all that he has for us, because we know that there's more, because there's more than our eyes have seen. And there is more than our ears have heard. And there is more than we have ever even imagined before that God has prepared for us in this season, in this time. This past Wednesday, we began our June prayer nights, and it was powerful. It was such a powerful night. You know, when you call a prayer meeting, you never know if people are going to show up. But you came. I bet we had close to this amount of people here Wednesday night, and I said, hey, next week, bring somebody with you. And somebody said, well, if we do that, we'll have to open up the Family Center. Can you imagine how amazing it would be if we had to open up the Family Center because the church came to pray? I mean, I'm just believing that there's something here for us. You know, Jesus said, I talked about this Wednesday for a bit, but I just want to say it to you too. He said that his house would be a house of prayer. He didn't say it would be a house of preaching. He didn't say it would be a house of singing or music or programs. He said his house would be a house of prayer for all nations. And these Wednesday nights are so central, I believe, to what's coming. And we're just getting started. So I encourage you to come hungry. Come expecting what God will do. We had ministry time Wednesday night. And just down here, my wife and I were praying for some people. And then some friends of ours, I asked them to pray for us. And so they began to just pray for us, and it was just this really wonderful time of just receiving from the Lord. And then just towards the end of the prayer, my friend, he began to prophesy over my wife and just release the heart of the Lord over her in that moment, and it was so powerful. And no sooner did he end that prayer that he goes, man, I did not expect to prophesy tonight. He said, I had such a horrible day. It was a day from H-E double hockey sticks, right? I can't say that word in church, right? We don't cuss. But some of you do, but we're praying for you. And he said, I was not expecting to. And I feel like that's just half the battle is showing up. He said, I honestly, when I got here, I didn't even really want to be here. Because of the kind of day that he'd had. But he was here. He showed up and he said, God, I want to be with you. And God did the rest. And I believe that that's it. For maybe you're here and you don't have much of a prayer life. Maybe you don't pray at all. I want to tell you, Wednesday nights, you can begin a prayer life. And I want to encourage you to come. It's just going to be powerful. I also want to just highlight that we have a prayer room here at Hope that's growing. We have times that it's open during the week at noon and in the mornings, and you can find out all those times on our website. There's times where we join together, and there's worship and a prayer leader, and we're just seeking the face of God. So check that out as well. As I begin this next season, I just was praying to the Lord about what he wanted me to share today, and I just kept coming back to the beginning. I kept coming back to the beginning of the New Testament church of Jesus Christ, and it begins in the book of Acts. And I want to jump right into that today. You know, Luke is the writer of Acts. Luke also wrote the book of Luke. And he was a physician and one of the disciples. And in Acts chapter 1, if you want to grab your Bibles or it'll be on the screen, it says that after his death and his resurrection, it says that Jesus appeared to his followers over 40 days. And it says that he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. It says, while he was with them, it says that he told them not to depart from Jerusalem, but stay there and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, it says, Jesus said to him, he said, hey, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He tells them in verse 8, he says, you will receive power. Can we say that together? Power? Power. Can we shout it out? Yeah, that's good. Power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Can we say witnesses? Witnesses. In Jerusalem, and all of Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It says, and when he said these things, as they were looking at him, he was lifted up in a cloud, took him out of their sight. It says, We look at this opening scene of the beginning of the church. Luke, the writer, is intent on us seeing two things which are fundamental to this book and really to his whole worldview. And the first thing is this, that everything from this moment forward is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything. How Luke ends the Gospel of Luke. He ends it with stories and scenes where Jesus met his followers after he had been crucified and raised from the dead. He met with his followers because he wanted them to know that he really was alive. He's like, I really am. I'm not just kind of alive. I'm not just a ghost. I'm fully alive. We see that all through Luke, and Jesus had a transformed body that could eat and drink and could walk and talk. And his transformed body represented what is now the beginning of God's new creation. Come on, that's good. Because of it, because of his transformed, resurrected body, now we get to become new creations as well. You know the passage, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is past, the new has come, and all of this is from God. The resurrection of Jesus, who died under the weight of the world's evil and sin, is the foundation of the new world that we are living in right now. God's new world. And Luke is describing this opening scene right here. You see, without the resurrection, there's no gospel. There's just a story about a really awesome teacher, would-be Messiah. But there was a resurrection, amen? And now we get to live and we get to walk in the reality and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to declare to you as a messenger of God that God is God, that Jesus is Lord, and that he beat the powers of hell, death, and the grave. That's why we're here. Our hope is in him. Our hope is in him. And now we get to be a part of bringing the new creation here on earth. It's the mission of the church. You know, we don't just celebrate Easter on Easter. Sometimes I feel almost a little uncomfortable when we're like, oh, he's risen. Yes, he's risen indeed. You know, Easter Sundays. It's so great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's like I should be saying that every day. Right? Like, I should wake up in the morning and be like, he's risen. I should sing the hymn, like, Christ the Lord is risen too. Just kidding. I didn't give the first service that. I'm sorry. Some of you look mad at me. Don't be mad. Be happy. You know what I'm saying, though? We don't just celebrate this on Easter. It's the reality of every single day. For every believer, Jesus Christ is risen, and I get to be a part of releasing his new creation everywhere I go. The second thing that Luke wants us to grab hold of right away is this. It's the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. that's about to come. Remember, we just read it. He said, John baptized you in water, but get ready. You're about to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. In other words, John, you were plunged underwater. You're about to get plunged by the Holy Spirit. In other words, God is at work to do a new thing in the world, and you're going to need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to carry out this new thing. You're going to receive power when he comes upon you. For what? It says, to be my witnesses here and everywhere. So after Jesus ascends into heaven, it says they return to Jerusalem like he told them to do. And they go to this upper room, right? In chapter 1, it's all there. And it says, with one accord, they devoted themselves to prayer. It says they were united in constant prayer for like 10 days. And this is the opening scene. Church, the New Testament church is birthed in prayer. The New Testament church is birthed out of a prayer meeting in an upper room with 120 people. And I suggest to you that as you read through the book of Acts, it remains in the place of prayer. It remains in a place of active prayer and connection and encounter with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, we jump over to that. They were still all together in one place. How many know that powerful things happen when the church is together in one place? Powerful things happen when the church comes together in one accord. When the church comes together united in prayer, united in worship, powerful things happen. We're going to read it together in Acts chapter 2. It's interesting, I got a text this morning from somebody and they said, hey, did you know today is Pentecost Sunday? I said, no way. I said, I'm preaching on that. It's pretty cool. I'm just already in sync with the Lord. I don't even know. I'm kidding. I mean, I'm not. Hopefully I am. So Acts chapter 2, it says this. When the day of Pentecost arrived, it says they were all together in one place, and there came from heaven a sound. Can you say a sound? A sound. Like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire. Can you say fire? Fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Verse 6, and it says, at this sound, can we say that together? At this sound, it says, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. It says, they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Goes on in verse 9 and 10, and it lists all the different areas and the languages that were represented there that day. And they say, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Verse 12, so it says they were amazed and perplexed. Have you ever been amazed and perplexed? I feel like a lot of times with what God does, we get a little bit of both. Like when God starts moving and doing things in our lives, there's this amazement. And then there's also, I'm a bit perplexed about that. I don't fully get it. So they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? Have you ever asked that question in your walk with God? What meaneth thus? Right? I ask it quite regularly. It says, but others mockingly said, they're filled with new wine. In other words, they're drunk. So imagine this. It's easy to read this if you've read it a bunch of times and like kind of missed the story. But here we've got these 120 people in this crammed into this upper room together. And they're worshiping and they're praying and they're seeking the Father. Kind of like Wednesday night. It was so good. I just imagine it. And this sound from heaven is released. And thousands of people begin to gather to the 120. And it's only 9 in the morning. Okay, so imagine this real life. What are you doing at 9 in the morning? Many of you are like on your way to work, or you've started work. Your kids are dropped them off at school. I mean, kids, you know, doing their schoolwork, or maybe it's the summer and they're playing. You know, I don't know. But they had to drop what they are doing to respond to the sound of the Lord. The sound from heaven comes. Men, women, children, drop what they're doing and they respond to the sound of heaven. And this is something that I felt like the Lord highlighted to me as well. Guys, this, where this is happening, this is the city, this is the people that had just murdered Jesus not many days before. This is the place where that literally rose up and crucified the Son of God. And yet, this open heavens erupts over this place. You know what? This morning I was even just praying through that and thinking about it. You know, it doesn't get much worse than killing the Son of God. I mean, really. Like, it doesn't get much. I mean, I get upset when somebody's mean to my kid. God's Son was murdered in this place. God's Son was crucified. They were cruel. They were awful. They did unspeakable things to him. It doesn't get much worse than this. But I want to tell you, as I read this, I felt so much hope released in my heart for every city. That no matter how dark it is, no matter how much awful stuff has happened in any city, if God would choose and release his sound and his presence over that place that had done those things to his Son, there is hope for every city. There is hope for every city. Be careful. I just want to say this to you. Be careful how you pass judgment on places. Be careful how you pass judgment on places, because resurrection changes everything. It changes everything. I don't mean to be yelling. I'm just really passionate. Gosh. People that are trying it out, see if I'm a good pastor, they'd be like, that guy screams too much. I can't stay there. Hey, I'll try and calm it down. I love Jesus. I get passionate, okay? I'll say that I'm never angry at you, okay? Just imagine me with a smile all the time. I'm never angry at you. I love you. I just get intense. Okay. So, when the manifest presence of God comes, I want to suggest to you, it doesn't matter what's gone on there before. I want to suggest to you that he is there, and because he is there, everything changes. I'm hungry for the sound of heaven. Are you? Nobody knows why they gathered in front of that upper room except for this sound. They don't know how they even knew the specific place to come. It wasn't like an email went out, right? Hey, guys, come quick. You know, group text wasn't happening. You know, there weren't billboards. There wasn't like a face group event released. You know, nobody was like, now we drop Google Map directions for people to know how to get places. No Google Maps. I mean, it was just the sound of heaven went out over a city and people responded. People responded, thousands responded that day. And it says that Peter, he stands up with the other 11 disciples and says he lifts his voice and he speaks to the crowd boldly there. And he says, guys, these people are not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. What you're seeing happen today is prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. What you're seeing is what the prophet Joel, in the book of Joel, prophesied was coming. It's not just coming, it's here. It's here. And what always stood out to me and still stands out to me this day as I'm in this passage and I'm reading it is along with all the wild manifestations, you know, the wind and the fire and the power and the tongues and all of that that's happening, what stands out to me is the transformation of Peter over a few days in prayer and on a day where he encounters the Holy Spirit. It's remarkable. Peter sees the crowd and this passion rises up within him to preach the gospel when only days before he'd been a coward. For those of you who know the context of this story, days before he had been a coward, he denied Jesus. He'd messed up in a really big way. In fact, he didn't just mess up once. He didn't just mess up twice. He messed up 3 times in a row and wouldn't even admit that he knew Jesus. He messed up when it mattered. And he messed up in a big way. Have you ever messed up in a big way? She'll admit. Maybe you're here today and you're actually living in a mess up place. I want to tell you, there's great hope for you. Can I hear an amen on that? There's great hope for you in your mess today. Remember, Peter, he's the guy, if you don't know much about him, he's the guy who had been with Jesus. He'd walked on the water with Jesus. He ate with Jesus. He was close with Jesus. He proclaimed his undying loyalty to Jesus in his passion. He was part of the inner circle of three who observed all the miracles and the ministry of Jesus. He was there at the transfiguration. He'd been to the heights with Jesus. And then at what seems like the end, he turns his back on Jesus and he denies that he ever even knew him. But here we find him after these few days in prayer and in the middle of this outpouring of the Spirit, and we find him in a new day because resurrection changes everything. And an encounter with the Spirit of God changes everything. Holy Spirit encountered transforms a coward into a bold preacher and proclaimer of the gospel. In a moment. Think of this. I want to suggest to you this, that it's the same for today. It's the same for me. It's the same for you. Maybe you're here and you've been a coward. Maybe you're here and you've been denying Jesus. Maybe you're here and your heart has grown far from him. Maybe you knew him once and you began to just turn away from him. I want to tell you today, he is here. And resurrection power is here. And Holy Spirit power is here for you to bring you back into a line with the purposes he has for your life. Holy Spirit is here today to transform you, I believe, and take you from a place of being a coward to courageous and victorious. That's what he does. Has he done that for you before, any of you? Come on, can we give him a shout of praise for that? It's good. It's so good. It's so good. The church that I see as we move forward and as I look at the New Testament and as the Lord just been opening up to me, the church I see is a church that's full of the Spirit of God. Where we're going is a people that are full of the Spirit of God. That's what we see in this first church, this upper room of 120, filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues. They're telling the mighty works of God. And because of this encounter with the Holy Spirit, Peter steps out of his shame and into his true identity. He steps out of the mistakes of his past, and he steps into who he really is. Yeah, it's true, he denied him, but what's the truth about Peter is that this is who he really is. And I think sometimes in the church, we make people suffer for too long in what they've done. I think sometimes people that have made mistakes feel like they can't turn around in a moment just like Peter did. I want to suggest to you today that when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your life, he can save, deliver, heal you, transform you in a moment. In a moment. In a moment. In a moment. And then you're never the same. Church, we got to let people do that. We can't hold people to what they've been or who they were. We got to let people become who they really are. Even when they've made mistakes. Amen? It's the truth. I want to suggest to you it's the same for us today. The same for us today. So Peter, he declares, they're not drunk, it's only 9. This is what Joel said would happen in verse 17. Jump in with me there. It says, in the last days it shall be, and here's the prophetic word, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. All flesh. Not some flesh. He says all flesh, not just really good Christians, not just those who have been like really walking straight for at least a good 9 months to 12 months. You know, not just those who have never messed up. He said, I'm going to pour it out on every kind of people. I'm going to pour it out on men. I'm going to pour it out on women. I'm going to pour it out on children, young and old, in every race. On your sons and your daughters, they're going to prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. Old men dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days, I'll pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. Church, everybody gets to prophesy. That's good news. It means you get to have the heart of God. You get to carry the heart of God in you, where you know things that you could not know otherwise. Every one of us. This is not for a select group of super spiritual people. There are none of those. I heard somebody the other day say to me, he's like, I just don't think I'm like spiritual like them. I'm like, that's a lie. And if you believe that lie, then you're deceived. See, the enemy has no authority over us except that which we give him. Sometimes we think he's so big, the devil's so big. He's not big. He has no authority over us. Jesus has all authority. The only authority he gets is when I open a door to him and let him in. And then I got to just kick him out and close the door. Amen? It's good. It's good. So everybody gets to prophesy. Verse 19 says, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Verse 20, the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and the magnificent day. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a promise. That is a promise. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter goes on with Holy Spirit boldness. He says, look, people, it was your hands that crucified and killed Jesus. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord will do to you. I mean, not many of us who had really blown it a few days earlier would stand up and be like, hey, look, people, look at what you did. We'd still be like feeling like, I can't say that because I just did that. Right? The Spirit of God, you killed Jesus, but God raised him up, he says, and death was no match for him. He says, we're witnesses of it. He's alive, and now he's been exalted to the right hand of the Father. And having received the promise of the Spirit, he poured it out today, and you are here seeing it. The church I see is birthed in an outpouring full of the Spirit of God. Full of the Spirit of God. Verse 37 says, now when they heard this, it says they were cut to the heart. And they asked Peter, what shall we do? What do we need to do? Peter's ready to tell him. And he comes and he says this bold thing. He says, you must repent and be baptized. Come on, everybody say repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is so key. I just want to say this to you. Repentance is key. And it's not just a one-time repentance. It's a repentance any time that anything other than him comes in our life. It's a repentance. It's a turning from any kind of a sin. When he speaks to you about something very small and he says, hey, let's deal with that. You respond to it and you turn the other way. Church, I believe we need to walk in repentance. I've got a few weeks to do it. I might next week, hellfire and brimstone, repentance. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance, isn't it? You know, God is not over us just like, ugh. He's saying, hey. Did you understand that language? God, that's not who he is. He's like, hey, I've got a better way. I've got a better way because I made you, I designed you, you're in my image, and I want you to walk in the fullness of what you were made to walk in. So, hey, turn the corner, change your thinking, follow me, let's go. That's repentance. That's repentance. Turn, turn, turn. You know, he goes on, he says, save yourselves from this crooked generation. That's a bold line, isn't it? The message, I love how the message says it. It says, get out while you can. get out of this sick and stupid culture. That's amazing. You know, as I read that, I was like, God, give me revelation on this, you know? He's not saying get out of the world. He's saying get out of the spirit of the world. Get out of the spirit of the age. You don't leave the world. You're in the world. He says you have a choice. You know, like you have a choice. You do have a choice. Do you know that you do too? We have a choice. You can stay in it or you can get out of it. You can stay where you are or you can get out and move to more. As a dad, I tell my children, you know, choice. You can, I'm the authority in our home, but I'm not in control of you. As much as I think I am sometimes, and I want to control, do you ever want to control your children? My goodness, I do. I have to resist it like every day. I'm in charge, but I'm not in control. I'm the authority. And so I tell my kids, I'm like, hey, you know what? There's a really wonderful way and there's a really hard way. And I hope you will choose the wonderful way that I am spreading out before you today to follow me. I do just like this. And it's like, it doesn't work. Oh, you're going to choose the hard way. Okay. Well, God's mad at you. I'm just kidding. I don't say it. I'm just kidding. I'm like, hey, I love you no matter what you do. And I'm going to be here waiting for you when you turn the corner and decide to go the right way. But you want blessing on your life, right? You want blessing. I was talking to somebody this week about a situation, and I'm so loving and so kind, but there was this moment where I said, hey, if you continue to walk in that way of life, the blessing of the Lord is not going to be on you for that. That's repent. That's like, so there's a moment where we have to stand in front of people and say, hey, that's not the way. That's not the way. And if you go that way, you can go that way. I'm going to love you and I'm going to be there for you. But if you go that way, there's not going to be blessing on that way. Because that isn't his way. And that's not who you really are. But you do have a choice. Having a choice is like the most wonderful and awful thing all in once. It really is, isn't it? It's beautiful. So we have a choice. Jesus saves us, but he says this, save yourself from this crooked generation. Sometimes you got to save yourself the trouble and the pain of walking down that road. Amen? And it says that about 3,000 people made that choice that day to repent and be baptized. Look what happens when the church gets filled with the Spirit of God. Look what happens when heaven invades earth. Look what happens when the glory of God comes upon his people, comes upon a place where they had just murdered the Son of God. All of a sudden, Spirit of God breaks in and everybody's heart shifts and 3,000 people repent. The church I see is a church that's full of the Spirit. I want to tell you, the baptism of the Spirit isn't only for speaking in tongues. It is a part of it. It's a big part of it, I believe. And I believe today people are going to actually speak in tongues for the first time because it's for everybody. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't just about that. It is primarily about power. It's about every believer walking in power and authority. It's not just for miracles, although it includes that. And we're to see many more miracles than we've seen. And we're going to, I believe it. But this baptism is so that he will rest upon us in such a tangible way that wherever we go, he goes. That I'm so connected with the Spirit of God in my life that wherever I go, whether I'm standing on a stage in front of hundreds of people or I'm standing in Panera ordering my lunch, the Spirit of God rests upon me there as well. Whether I'm here and I'm in worship or I'm in a Bible study or whether I am at the grocery store, the Spirit of God is resting upon me and he is with me. How many want him to rest upon you? I know you do. I want him to rest upon me in such a way that wherever I go, wrong things are made right because Jesus is so with me. I want him to rest upon me in such a way that light breaks darkness away, where freedom comes to captives, where peace comes to troubled lives, and so on and so on and so on. It never ends. What happens? Because he is upon me and he is working through me. I believe God is raising up a church called Hope Church that walks in this in a greater measure. And this goes way beyond just doing good services. Way beyond just Sunday morning. Way beyond just Wednesday night. It's called the Church of Jesus Christ, rising up in the authority and in the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. Where everywhere we go, he's so upon us that things change where we are. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. And we're not talking about handing out tracts. Although if you do that, that's great. Hand them out. We're talking about a life that tangibly carries the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and that brings a transformation of heaven every place we go. If you want to be a part of that church, would you just stand with me this morning? And we're just going to begin to lift up our voices in this place today and just say, God, we want more of you. Can you lift your hands all over this room?